definition of knowledge is to be acquainted with facts, truths, or principles. So it's information or a skill acquired through experience or education. So what we're going to talk about today is acquiring knowledge. Now, today we live in the information age. I like to ask people all the time, do you go to Google first or God? Honestly. Because I'm constantly, you know, and we've become, because of information and it's right there, I'm constantly Googling stuff. I can find answers. I mean, here's the problem. You'll Google something and you'll get 16 search engines. And they're not all saying the same thing. Did you know that? Don't just stay with one search engine. Because you can find, because it's knowledge, it doesn't make it truth. Now you're listening, this is so good. Somebody's going to give you knowledge, it doesn't make it truth. Only God gives you truth. So make sure you're getting your knowledge from God and not Google. Now you can get information from Google, and that's all okay. But Google is not where you get your knowledge. Your knowledge comes from God and God alone. In Proverbs 1:7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now the word fear means reverence, honor, and respect. I stop and I meditate on these verses. So ladies, what I give you, I hope you take home during the week and you take these verses and you go in your own prayer closet or prayer room or war room or prayer walk or whatever you do and meditate on this stuff. So take Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God, fear means that I respect you. I honor you. I have reverence for you. You are God, I am not. It is your ways, not my ways. Your ways are higher than my ways. The only way I can understand knowledge is to walk according to your ways. I fear in reverence and respect and honor. And to be honest with you, we don't always fear him. And I, you know, some people say, well, I don't like the word fear. I like newer translations. I love the word fear because to me, I should have a holy fear of God. We have lost the fear of God in the church in America today. He is God and you're not. I have reverence for the God of the universe that gives me breath in my lungs. It is your breath in my lungs. I can't breathe without you. I can't sing without you. I cannot be with you. I have reverence and fear for Almighty God. And until I start there, I will never have knowledge. I will only have knowledge from what the world tells me to acquire and to accumulate and to be and to do. The world will always take me down a path that ends on a dead-end street. Always. So it's not about acquiring information. It's about acquiring knowledge, God's knowledge. He goes on and he tells us in Proverbs 9:10, another one to ponder. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Once again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't say good morning, wisdom, if you don't understand how to fear him. And I don't mean fear like be afraid of him. I am not afraid of God. I honor him. I extol him. I lift him up. I am in awe of him. That is a healthy fear that there is a God of the universe that spins this universe in place every day. That's understanding him. That's where I begin with wisdom. And he goes on and says, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So knowledge, understanding, all of these words come from the book of Proverbs. Now, who wrote Proverbs? The majority of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. That's why it's so important that we understand his life so we understand these Proverbs. I'm going to walk you through a little of that tonight. The Queen of Sheba came from one of two places, and they're not really quite sure if you research this, either from Ethiopia or from Yemen. So those are the two areas that they found traces of where this Queen of Sheba resided. But either way, it was a long way from Jerusalem. We've been to Ethiopia, and they do believe that's where the Queen of Sheba was. There is a lot of scripture that seems to indicate it could have been Ethiopia. But either way, it was about, listen to this, a six-month journey by camel, going about 20 miles a day over a span of about 1,400 miles. So that would basically be halfway across the United States by camel, because she had a hunger for the wisdom of Solomon. How far would you travel for the hunger of God? Girlfriend, we're all looking for stuff. We're looking what now look, every day somebody's coming. Have you seen this new makeup? Have you seen this new mascara? Have you seen this? Because we're all wanting something, right? Somebody, where'd you get that shirt? Where'd you get that? Because there's something we're always desirous of, right? We're hungry for that because as human beings, we want that. We want stuff. We want more. I look at the Queen of Sheba and I think to myself, this woman heard about the wisdom of Solomon and she gathered up all of her caravans and all of her things that she had to offer him. And she went on a journey for 6 months to see face to face if God was real. How far would you go to see if God was real? I want to take you through the story, and it's found in 1 Kings 10. And I'm going to basically take you verse through 1 through 13. So if you have your Bibles, open them up, your apps, open them up, or they're on your sheet if you want to look at it. It tells us here, listen, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon. Now we're going to talk about this because what happens is we hear about things. Remember, Holy Spirit speaks to us through our senses. Right? We hear of something and then I want to find out about it. So she heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord. And she came, listen, for a reason, to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving in Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices and large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and she talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Now, this is the Queen of Sheba. So when a queen comes to a king, they're going to bring an offering. And I love this because when I was praying today, the Holy Spirit just said, "What is your offering to me?" And you know, guys, we can't offer him anything but ourselves. That's the greatest offering you can give. You know how many times I've said to my little kids when they wanted to give me a present, when I said to them, "All I want is you." See, there is nothing we can give someone that loves us dearly but ourselves. And I just started reading through this, and all she thought she thought maybe she could bribe him. I actually think she was going to show him up, kind of like what we want to do to the men next week. I think she thought, "I'm going to show him my stuff. I'm going to see if he's got stuff as good as my stuff." Because the Bible is very clear what she brought. She brought gold and precious stones, and she brought all the resources, spices. You know, this is Ethiopia. This is in Africa. They're bringing all these beautiful spices to him, right? And she was going to question him. She thought she was going to trick him because she was smarter than him. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Now listen, when you have the knowledge of God, you have the mind of God. I became so convicted by this study because the Holy Spirit said to me, "You need to be reading, Tammy. You need to be learning. You need to be researching." We've gotten so lazy with our mind, ladies. Are you with me? Are you with me? I just ordered two great books, and I told my husband, "Take me on a vacation so I can read these books. I got to get away." But I became convicted as I did this study because I realized if people came to me with hard questions, I would probably make an appointment with them with my husband. Because my husband's really smart, right? Now there's truth here. Instead of me learning, I'm going to pass them on to somebody else that might know the answer. And Holy Spirit said, "Tammy, you're capable of knowing these answers. You need to study to show yourself approved," the Bible says. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." I need to know the Word of God. I'm not going to know the Word of God if I'm not in the Word of God. I'm not going to know the Word of God if I'm not dividing it, if I'm not asking questions, if I'm not learning. Ladies, when's the last time you got your Bible and used things like Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer and used those resources, used tools like great women who have used Made for More? Ashley put a lot of time and research in this. Don't take this on. Listen, somebody paid for that for you. That's not a gift from the church. That's someone in this group that paid hundreds of dollars so we could print that, so you could take that. And I hope you're convicted every time you walk by it and you haven't written in it. Because somebody believed in you, because somebody sowed in you, because somebody studied. Now take that and study. Open it. Read. Look at the passage. Say to the Holy Spirit, "What does that mean? Teach me." There's nothing greater than when you get a rhema from the Logos. Now that word, rhema and logos, are the English word, word. So what that means is when you get a word from the word, When you get a rhema, which means you get a word from God, from his word. Are you with me? So write that down. I get a rhema from the Logos. I'm reading the word of God and it jumps out at me and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's for me. Then all of a sudden, I'm sharpening myself in the word of God. Now you have a story. Now you have a testimony. Now you have an example from the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You got to know it. You got to read it. You got to be. And that's why when I read this, I thought the thing, yeah, God downloaded wisdom on him, but he knew the word. You got to know the word. So Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, remember she heard it, now she saw it, and the palace that he built, the food on his table, the seating of the officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, his burnt offerings that he made in the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. This morning when I was in my prayer room and I was reading some things from Rietta and her book on the throne room, and I was reading my Bible and I had my music going and I got my own little war room in there, and I read this and I thought, guys, heaven is beautiful. It's beautiful. If you've not read Revelation 4, read it. It's a beautiful throne and it's an emerald rainbow and it shows all the colors and it's, and the saints are rejoicing, and the 24 elders, and just read it, and all of a sudden you get this visual picture of beauty. And what God gave us in the temple with Solomon was a picture of the glorious heavens. Heaven is beautiful. It's beautiful. And he loves aesthetics. Why do you think he made such beautiful things? Okay, I'm going to get off on my own personal conviction here. I mean, I love nature. I love beauty. There's times when I'm walking around this building and I see that luscious mountain and I stop and I just worship God. I'm in a prayer walk in the park and I see the cute little squirrels and I see birds, and I love beauty. But I feel that we as a society lack beauty. We become sloppy and we become lazy. And we do everything. Pastor Phil used the best message yesterday with those beautiful ceramic cups. And they talked about the disposable cup. You know, remember the day when we used to have teas and we used to dress for church and we used to do. And I'm just, this is my conviction. But I fell under it today when I read this. Because she was attracted to the beauty. You guys, you're so beautiful. You are so beautiful. He made us beautiful and he gave us so many beautiful things. And he takes glory in aesthetic beauty. And sometimes just do something beautiful for him. Do you understand that that's a reflection of heaven? That's a reflection of eternity. It wouldn't be in the scripture. He wouldn't have put so much emphasis on what the temple was to look like if beauty wasn't important to him. Does that make sense? And we're raising up a culture of sloppiness. The one day that I don't wear my cute little outfit. Did you know what I mean, though? I mean, I'm not trying to get into your business, getting up all in your business. But when you read this, you realize how much he loves beauty, and heaven is beautiful. And take time to just enjoy beauty. Because why does it say this? She was overwhelmed. And if nothing else, just enjoy nature and enjoy beauty. Because he gave it to us as a reflection of what eternity is going to be like. I don't think we have a clue. You're going to be in eternity 1 second and you're going to fall to your face in the beauty of heaven. And if you haven't gone there, I invite you to take some minutes and moments and just go to the throne room. And listen, nobody taught me how to do this. I just got on my face and I started reading through Revelation 4, Revelation 1 and 3. And I understood what, remember John, the Apostle John, wrote the book of the Revelation under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was exiled to an island called Patmos. And the Bible let him see things. It said he took him to the third heaven. He saw what we're going to see. Take some time in the Word of God to know what that looks like. You'll never pray the same. You'll never be the same. You'll never go to a funeral the same. You will never know what it's like to lose a loved one and understand what the throne room's like and grieve for them the same. Do you know what I mean? That's knowledge from the Word of God. He wrote it so we would know these things. He didn't leave us to be ignorant. He gave us the answers. Get in the Word, read the Word, meditate, pray, sing. That's knowledge. Goes on to say, she said to the king, the report that I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw them with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report that I have heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Look what she says. This carnal woman coming from a foreign god, all the gods of the world at that time. Praise be to your Lord and God, who is delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. This queen of Sheba, one of the most well-known people of all of the earth at this time, very affluent and prestigious woman, the queen of Sheba, came to Solomon, and these were her words. Now, lest you get all haughty about this, let me show you a scripture that you've probably read through in Matthew, and it's going to shake your world today, and you probably haven't put the two together. In Matthew 12, verse 42, the Bible tells us, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and all the people around him who don't believe that he's the Son of God. Here's what he says. The queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear about the wisdom of Solomon. And now someone even greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. I believe that scripture is telling us that she was converted to the God of Israel. Right there, it's telling us in the New Testament that the queen of Sheba sought out the wisdom of God, and she will stand as your judge one day. That's powerful. Now, I didn't list this, and if you want to go on to the next verse, and this gets really crazy, and I'm going to set up, my husband was so sweet to set up my book on Sunday, I'm going to set up his book, which is coming out right after my book. The next verse on this says, not only the queen of Sheba, but listen, it talks about, remember the story talks about the Ninevites and Noah? It says, the Ninevites will also rise up in judgment against you, for they were converted to the ways of, Jonah and the Ninevites. You remember the story of Jonah, okay? And how he didn't want them to be converted because he wanted them to go basically to hell. He didn't want them converted, and God put him in the belly of a whale and said, now repent and go back and talk to him. Remember the Ninevites? Guess who the Ninevites are? You know where Nineveh is today? Mosul. It's present day ISIS. Do you know that they converted and turned? Remember there was all this rejoicing because they converted? And Jonah was mad they converted, and he went off and had a pity party because all these people came to faith in Christ. They will judge you, and the queen of Sheba will judge you because they were converted to the way of the God of Israel. That's just crazy. So Phil's new book addresses that, and it's all about lawlessness in our last days, and that'll be coming out July 4th. But I wanted you to see that scripture because listen to me. You read over scripture all the time and probably don't have a clue what it's saying. Have any of you ever traced this verse back to literally the Queen of Sheba and how she came seeking out the ways of Solomon and was converted to the ways of God? I'm going to go on and give you another verse that I think this is really good. Listen with me and open your Bibles if you don't have it. Look at your notes. I want to equate what the Queen of Sheba did in 1 Kings 10, to this second chapter of Proverbs, chapter 2. Listen to what Solomon writes. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, remember what she said? She heard with her ear. Turning your ear to wisdom. Let me see you do this. Turning your ear to wisdom. Now, guys, every one of you, we talked about that last week in discernment. Discernment will speak to you. And if you don't turn your ear to wisdom, you're not going to hear him. And Solomon understands this. He's writing this, and I believe this has to do with, I believe, the Queen of Sheba. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, ladies, when's the last time you cried for understanding? You cried for wisdom, not your way, not what you wanted, not for God to meet your need. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying crying for wisdom, crying for understanding, crying for truth. Because the truth is, if God doesn't answer the way you want, you stop listening. Man, I hate to say it, but it's true. You're not crying for wisdom. You're crying for your way. And Solomon's very clear here. Cry for wisdom. Cry for understanding. Turn your ear. Cry aloud. And if you look for it, listen, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, that's exactly what the Queen of Sheba did. She came searching and seeking for his wisdom, for all that he had. Or how hungry are you, you guys? Whatever you're hungry for, you know how you just kind of get a craving for something? You know those nights when you kind of just get a craving for popcorn? You know? And you get this craving, and then you go to bed, and you know first of all you're going to wake up and you can't get your ring on because your fingers are all swollen. And you haven't been fully satisfied because you have a craving for something you weren't intended to eat for a meal. And some of you are craving things that you're eating and you're not satisfied. And you can crave the things of this world and they will never, ever, ever satisfy. But until you, and I mean you alone, get alone with God and crave the things of the Father and cry out for wisdom and cry out for instruction and go his way and not your way, you will not be searching for silver and gold. And he goes on and he talks about that. And then you will understand, what do we start with? And then you will understand the fear of the Lord. See, I mean, I want the mind of Christ. We were praying today and so many opportunities were coming today. And we use this around here. Opportunities are opulent, you know, but just because it's there doesn't mean I'm supposed to take it. God, is this what you want us to do? Is this where you want me to go? I got to constantly be asking him that. Is this who I align myself with? Is this the right ministry? Is this the right person? Because we live in this age of so many opportunities, so many people, so many resources. We get so distracted. Get alone and hear his voice. Because see, when he leads me, I hear his voice. There's something stirring in my spirit when I know it's him. Today we were in prayer and literally an opportunity came and Ashley goes, let's pray. And so we stopped. We do this all the time. We just prayed. And the second we got done, we literally both said the same thing. Like out of our mouth, we're like, oh. Because we said, Lord, give us a confirmation. Let us know if we're supposed to do, da 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 da. And then we literally said amen. It was like, get a pen and paper. And we, oh my gosh, that was so cool. There was a confirmation that we were supposed to go a certain way. Are you with me? So it's good to put accountability in people around you. But guys, be so aware of his voice that when he speaks, you know his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Right? He knows us. We know him. Be so well acquainted that you know his voice. So it goes on to say, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God, not find the knowledge of Google. And I'm not, man, are you with me? I'm trying to use this as an example to say, it's so easy to run for knowledge. The Bible also tells us that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can puff up. It can be pride. If you don't have the knowledge of God. Let's go on. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In that verse, remember we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Become so well aware of these six words. All right, we're going to have a pop quiz at the end of the study. All right? Wisdom, knowledge, instruction, discernment, understanding, discretion. Know what those... They are over and over and over and over and over in the book of Proverbs, those six words. Define them, know them, cling to them, hold to them. Today I was reading in my Proverbs, I was preparing for this. This is Proverbs 2. And as I was reading in the Word of God, I just kept reading. You know how when it's so good and you don't want to stop and you just keep going? So next thing you know, I'm in Proverbs 3. I'm just going to tell this because I think it's so cool. And so in Proverbs 3, we all know this verse, trust in the Lord and with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And what does he do? All right. And we know that and we love it. But do you know what the verse before it says? Anybody? Proverbs 3:3. It says, to bind truth and mercy around your neck and never let it depart from you. Well, I read that years ago, and I had a little necklace made that said mercy and truth. And I just wear it around my neck because I really want, you know, just think, if you had mercy and truth, so you didn't compromise, you weren't a pushover, you stood for truth, but you had mercy. So that's Proverbs 3:3. So I've been texting back and forth with my good friend Caitlin Crosby. Some of you know Caitlin for the Giving Keys. And I text her and I said, Caitlin, and if you're listening, Caitlin, I said, Caitlin, would you make me a special key? Would you make one? And you know, she always has one word. These are what they are if you don't know what they are. And Google it if you don't know. The Giving Keys is an amazing organization. But it's one word. So mine on this one says courage. And I wear this. But I said, would you put one word on one side and one word on the other? Because I want to bind truth and mercy around my neck. And she texted me right back. But look, here's what happened. Because the Word of God was so good and I kept reading, it led me to do something. And I got to minister to her. I got to send the script to her. I got to remind Caitlin to walk with truth and mercy. Do you see what I'm saying? When you start to walk with the Spirit of God, and we talked about before, it's called the divine dance. You kind of go this way with him a while. Then he leads you, opens the door this way. But he's an ever help of present constantly. Presence. He's always there with you. That's what it means. And be real. Don't be weird. Be real. Don't be weird. You know, I love it when people go, I didn't know you were a pastor's wife. And not because of my actions, just because that's kind of like weird. People are weird that are pastor's wives. I can say that I am one. And I mean that. Just there's a stereotype. I want people to go, she walks with God. See, I like to tell people, I don't want a label. I want an identity. I don't want a label. I want an identity. I want an identity that you go, she walks with God. She loves God. You can tell she prays. You can tell she's a problem solver. You know, she brings two people who are trying to figure it out, and she tries to make them both happy. I want to be defined by my identity and who I am in Christ. Amen? Are you with me on that? And that's what happens when you start soaking up the Word of God, not religion, but you start soaking up the Word of God. People want to be around you because it's irresistibly attractive. Oh, my goodness. I haven't even got to my points. Should I keep going? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. I promised I wasn't going to go this long. We haven't even got to it. All you small group leaders still love me?
Yes.
Should I keep going?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Steps to knowing God. We're going to do this, and we may just hug tonight. Steps to knowing God. Now listen, listen. Ears to hear. Ears to hear. She heard about the wealth of Solomon. It says the Queen of Sheba traveled to Jerusalem as she heard about the fame. Listen, guys, people are listening. People are listening to your life. They are watching Facebook. They're listening to what you're doing. People are looking. People are hungry. We are closer tied than we ever have been because of social media. And when you post something about God, people are looking and they're listening and they're hungry and they're going to, I love watching threads when people will go, what's this about? What are you going to? As I said, I was just at the Miss Anaheim pageant and we were talking and somehow it said Women of Influence. And a woman walked up to me and she goes, oh, do you go to Women of Influence? And I said, yeah, I said, I do. And she goes, I see they're having a conference. Do you know anything about it? And she saw it on social media, right? And I got to say, it's an amazing conference, and there's great people coming, and I got to pour into it because people are watching, and they're listening, and you with me?
Yeah.
Guys, you've got to be an open book for the kingdom. You've got to be an open. So she listened, she heard. She traveled a long stinking way on a camel. Seriously, guys, because she heard. She was hungry, and she had eyes to see. She wanted to see with her own eyes. People are watching you. I'm going to be out now. I'm just blown it, so I'm going to. You can't be out partying and doing stuff all week long and then posting stuff about Jesus. I love you, but you who are you? Who are you today? Man, I mean, I post fun stuff too, but if I can't have integrity throughout my social feeds, get off social media. Because you're hurting the kingdom. You're hurting the kingdom. All right? I love you, but people are people's lives are at stake, and it's too important with your testimony. They're watching. They're watching you. All right? It says, when the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon, she went. Now, I want to go over this with you, and we're going to be doing your small groups, and whole time still, God. Okay, this is so good, and it's in your notes. It's by Charles Spurgeon, but it's deep, and I want you to think. Please, I don't want stupid women of influence. I want you to be smart. I want you to learn. I want you to read. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to know the word of God to answer. Seriously. And this is what Charles Spurgeon says. Listen, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. This is good. Now, you got to think. Seriously. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. So it's not just knowing. It's the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are the greater fool for it. See, knowledge doesn't make you smart. It's not acquiring knowledge. Now, stay with me. They're the greater fool. My husband went to Oxford. There are a whole lot of fools running around there with a whole lot of knowledge because they're puffed up, because it's pride, because it's knowledge. And they're fools proclaiming their folly, it tells us in Proverbs. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. When you don't even know you're a fool, right? The worst fool is when you don't even know you're a fool. And then he goes on, but to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Now, are you with me? And that's when you read a scripture and you go, okay, I'm going to sit on this one for a minute. God gave us a mind. If he didn't want us to use it, he wouldn't have given it to us. He wants us to think. The greatest creations, the greatest inventions, the greatest opportunities, the greatest cures come from this. He gave it to us. Use your mind. That is knowledge. God will activate things in your mind. He will activate things. He wants you to think. He wants you to be brilliant. But be a brilliant believer and not a brilliant fool. Amen. Knowledge and understanding. She perceived. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom are true. I want somebody to come to me and say, the God you've been telling me about, he's true. Everything that you said about this God that transformed your life, Tammy, is true. I've tested it, I've tried it, and it's true. I'm going to walk through these really quickly, guys. Life applications, and then we're going to take at least 10 to 15 minutes in our small groups. Number one, the knowledge of God cannot be bought, it must be sought. And I don't think I finished, I think I just put in yours, the knowledge of God cannot be bought. It has to be sought. You have to seek God's knowledge. And guys, we're going to leave here. We come in as cheerleaders, and we cheer you up, and you get all excited. But if you go home and you come back in 2 weeks, and you've not filled that cup, you're going to be dry. You got to get in the war room. You got to get on your knees. You got to do a prayer walk. You got to open your Bible. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to let him do what he does in you. It's got to be sought. We must be ready to answer the hard questions. Become a student of the Word of God, and God will answer for you. See, remember what I said to you last? It can't come out of you if you've not put it in you. He can't activate what you haven't studied and learned. Put the word of God in you. Study the word of God. You go, I don't know what that scripture was. He can activate what's already in there. But he can't activate what's not in there. Are you with me? Study the word. Read the word. I do a proverb. Every day I read my proverb because it's just good wisdom. It's good instruction. It's good moral living. So read those, all right? People will go the distance looking for truth. Everyone in here has somebody watching you. And they will go the distance to ask you. Here's what I'd like to tell people. If nobody's asking you about Jesus, then they're not seeing Jesus in you. If nobody's asking you about Jesus, they're not seeing Jesus in you. People will go the distance. The world is hungry for truth. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. They're looking for that. Number four, certain people will be attracted to your story. Now, we'll talk about this more later, but she was attracted. She was a queen, and she was attracted to the king. They were on the same level. Are you with me? There will be people that you work with, people that you associate with, people in your mom's group, people in your exercise group. There's such an affinity, and they're going to come to you because you have an affinity with them. Look at your affinity groups. Who needs Jesus? Who needs Jesus? Number five, we will give an account for our testimony. We will give an account. And this is the story right here where it says the Queen of Sheba will stand up in the last days and she will say, I went a long distance seeking for the truth. What's your story? What's your story?